allow it? Sounds like a reverb here. Well, happy Sabbath. Wasn't that a heavy one? This is heavy after coming from the first sermon. But I want to give you two promises before we go any further. We have to look into the Word of God. Amen? Yeah, that's to blow the smoke out of the sanctuary. Let's open your Bibles with me. Let's go to Psalms 32. If you're there, say amen. Psalms 32, look at verse 8. We have to put our faith and trust in it is written. Thus saith the Lord. Amen? If anything, we have to look at a sure foundation. And I'm going to give you two Bible texts, and then I'll proceed to talk about the Christian character and the Christian privilege. Verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Verse 8. So God is telling us here in Psalms 32, verse 8, He is going to instruct us. Amen? And then, not only will He instruct thee, He said He would teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Memorize that text because it's important. Because all of us are going to have to make decisions within the coming months, as you could see what's happening to our world. God's going to instruct us what to do. Now go to Psalms 25. Psalms 25. Look at verse 4. This should be our prayers every day. Verse 4 says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Are you praying that prayer every day? We need to be praying, my friends. We need to be praying because we are living in perilous times. So having said that, I want those two texts to be implanted in your minds today because you and I are going to need instructions of what to do, where to go, and what we need to be doing in this times that we're living in. So having said that, I'm going to kneel so that I can be guided by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that He will give me the words to speak, so that we can be all encouraged. Because we need encouragement. Amen? We need instructions. We need it. I'm telling you. I need it. I'm full of anxiety. And I'm going to explain that to you folks. And it's affected me physically. Physically. Because watching videos on YouTube and watching this and watching that, pretty soon I'm like, I'm stressed. I don't want to be stressed. My wife had to remind me, stop! Stop! Go into the Word and show me, Lord, what I need to be doing. He needs to instruct me. And so we're going to pray before we start. So if you can pray with me, kneel with me, and then let's study His Word. Father God, we are grateful and thankful for the privilege and the opportunity to worship, to praise You and to claim You as our Lord and our Savior and our God. Father, as we look into the Christian character, I pray, Father, that we can fully understand what is required of us. And Lord, I pray that You will speak through me, that I will hide myself at the foot of the cross. Forgive me, Lord, for my impatience. Forgive me for my inconsistencies. But this morning, I want You, Lord, to take a hold of me, my heart, my mind, that the words I speak will come directly from Your throne in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. We're going to study just for a moment. But before I start, I'd like to read a statement from Maranatha. How many of you have that book at home? It's a beautiful book. What does Maranatha mean? Jesus is coming! I believe he's coming very soon. But we're all going to be facing some times, some trials, and I believe that we need to be prepared. God is coming. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Maranatha 160. You can take notes, write it down so that you can go home and open your book and look into the study. As we near the close of this world's history, the prophecy relating to the last days especially demand our study. How many of us believe that we're living in the last days? Okay, I believe that too. I've been hearing it all my life until now. The last book of the New Testament, what book is that? Revelation. The last book of the New Testament scriptures is full of truth that we need to understand. Now, I don't know everything, but I am trying to learn a lot within the short few months that I have. And even when I do study, I cannot grasp the enormity of what's coming. I can't. My mind is too small, too little, too inconsistent that I can understand. So we need to understand, as Ellen White tells us, you can lower that just a little bit. A little loud. Even for me. The solemn messages that have been given in their order in the Revelation are to occupy the first place in the minds of God's people. Did you get that? Let me read that again. The solemn messages that have been given in their order in the Revelation are to occupy first place in the minds of God's people. So when you wake up in the morning, what is your first thoughts? Okay? What is your first thoughts? Precious time is rapidly passing, and there is danger that many will be robbed of the time which should be given to the proclamation of the messages that God has sent to the fallen world. So we have a message to give in the book of Revelation. The testimony of Christ, a testimony of the most solemn character. We're going to look at the word character this morning. I started last week in our Sabbath school on character. Because what is character? Okay. What else? Well, what does character consist of? Okay. Thoughts and feelings. Our behavior. Character. I'm going to read it. I memorized it, but I pulled it up. And it says here, a character formed according to the divine likeness is the only treasure that we can take from this world to the next. The only attribute. So if that's the only attribute or the only treasure that we're going to be taking to heaven, do you think we need to understand it? And you know, by the way, I've been studying this character development as long as I've been converted, and I still don't understand it fully, completely. Because if we are going to heaven and we're going to spend eternity in heaven, we're going to be studying character. And you know what? When you study character, you'll never exhaust it. So the solemn message that have been given in their order in the Revelation are to occupy the first place in the minds of God's people. So we're going to look at character this morning, because if this is the only attribute, it is the only treasure that we're going to take to heaven, then we need to study it. We're going to look at it for the time that we have this morning. Amen? She tells us, Ellen White tells us, our only safety is to lie low at the foot of the cross, be little in our own eyes, and trust in God, for He alone has the power to make us great. So Maranatha is telling us, Ellen White tells us in Maranatha, the testimony of Christ is a testimony most solemn, which is the character. This character needs to be born to the world. So character, as I talked about it last week, it's just review. Character is your thoughts and feelings. Thoughts and feelings combine make up the moral character. Your thoughts are to be subjected to the will of God. And your feelings are to be controlled by reason and religion. Now, this is a subject that we're not going to cover all this whole morning. But this is something that I want to instill in each heart this morning. That this character, this moral character, it needs to be developed in each of us before you leave today. Amen? All right. So thoughts and feelings combined make up the moral character. Your thoughts are to be subjected to the will of God. And what is the will of God this morning for you and I? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, that you, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Yes? Psalm 40, verse 8 says, for the will of God, I delight to do thy will, yea, thy law is within my heart. So the will of God is to be sanctified in Christ, but it leads us to the law of God, because all of us here this morning are going to be judged by that law. Amen? Yeah, so we need to look into the law of God also. Feelings are to be controlled by reason. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Isaiah, let's go. Quickly. Isaiah chapter 1. We're looking at the Christian character, the Christian's privilege. Are you there? Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Is anyone here sinless? Nice, George. Is there anyone sinless here? The Bible says all have what? Sin and come short of the glory of God. And here, Christ is telling us, hey, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Verse 19, if ye be willing to be obedient and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse, you're basically going to die. It says, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So Christ is telling us, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. We need to talk about this. Why? Because sometimes we seem to neglect it. You see, your feelings are to be controlled by reason and religion. You see, she says this in Our Father Cares, the religion of Jesus Christ never degrades the receiver. It never makes him coarse or rough or discourteous or self-important. On the contrary, it refines the taste. So when we reason with God, religion plays a big part, because what does religion do? It refines the taste, sanctifies the judgment, purifies and ennobles the thoughts. Your thoughts and feelings. Your thoughts are to be subjected to the will of God. That means you cannot let your mind wander. You cannot. A Christian will not let his mind to wander whatever he wants to think of. That's why it's important what you watch, what you're listening to, what you're reading. Whatever you're doing, your thoughts are to be controlled. A Bible text that comes into mind is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity. Bringing it into captivity. So our thoughts are not to go rampant, running wild. I've gave examples on those before, where I had to catch myself dwelling on some thought that happened 30 years ago. Out of nowhere, it just came onto me, and I started to dwell on that thought. And right away, the Holy Spirit said, up, stop. Brought it into captivity. So, the religion of Christ not only sanctifies the judgment, but it also purifies and ennobles the thoughts by bringing them into captivity to Jesus Christ. Your thoughts and feelings. And so, the Bible is telling us this morning that we need to bear with Christ. Because Revelation chapter 14 talks about the character of Christ in Revelation chapter 7 to 9 to 10 to 12. The three angels' message. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 14. Go quickly. Are you there? You should memorize these texts that I'm giving to you today. We're just reviewing. Reviewing. Verse 6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, and give glory to Him. How do you glorify God? The Bible is telling us to fear God, give glory to Him. How do we glorify God? Okay, let's go. Let's go. Let the Bible speak. Let's go to John. John 15. Go quickly. My time is running. John 15. John 15. John 15. Look at verse 8. John 15 verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So the way we glorify God is to bear fruit. And then it says, what does it say? So shall he be my disciples. This morning, the Christian character is to bear fruits. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Go with me to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew. Go quickly. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Look at verse 8. Are you there? bring forth, therefore, fruit meet for repentance. Verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So my friends, this morning, if we are not bearing fruit, you're going to be cut off. You're going to be cut off. This is a message today that we need to understand, that we as God's people have to have this character, and this character is to bear much fruit. So what is this fruit? We all know the text in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But we're going to look at Ephesians. Go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. For the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So the fruit of the Spirit, according to Romans chapter 4, verse 2, is that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Turning away from the lifestyle that we lived. Turning away from the things that is contrary to the will of God. Because we are living in a time where we need to be bearing fruit, and by bearing fruit, we have the goodness of God in our lives. And the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It also says righteousness. And we know that righteousness is the law of God. Psalms 119, 151. Psalms 119, 172. We don't have time to go through those texts. But basically what it's doing, it's leading us to the law of God. The character that we need to have for these end times. This is my favorite book so far, The Sanctified Life. She tells us in page 80, the character of the Christian is shown by his daily life. What does your life consist of this morning? Because it says it's the character of the Christian. And by the way, what is a Christian? Somebody that is like Jesus. Amen? That's what a Christian is. So the Christian, the character of the Christian, is shown by his daily life. No hands. What is your life like? Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. She continues, she says, our Savior compares himself to a vine of which his followers are the branches. He plainly declares that his disciples must bring what? Good fruit. Needs to bring good forth fruit. Then he shows how they may become fruitful branches. You want to be a fruitful branch? We got to be fruitful. We need to bear much fruit. And the only way we're going to bear much fruit is that we have the goodness of God. And guess what the goodness of God does? He leads you to repentance as he led me to repentance. This is the experience that all must have, my friends. You know, Ellen White tells us in Ministry of Healing, she says, and all who are under the training of God needs a quiet hour of communion with their own hearts, with nature, and with God. Are you in the training of God? Are we? Because if you are in the training of God, you're going to have at least a good hour with God every morning. And then she says this. in them is to be revealed a life that is not in harmony with the world, its customs and its practices. And we need to obtain a knowledge of the will of God. So what is this knowledge of the will of God? The knowledge of God, as revealed in Christ, is the knowledge that all who are saved must have. Everyone here needs to have this knowledge. Isn't any wonder why Hosea chapter 4 verse 16 says, "My people are destroyed because lack of knowledge"? My people are destroyed because they lack this transformation of character. That's what it is. The knowledge of God as revealed in Christ is the knowledge that all who are saved must have. It is the knowledge that works transformation of character. We're looking at character this morning because this is the only attribute, this is the only treasure we are taking to heaven. And here, Ellen White is telling us, this is how we can become fruitful branches. Here it is. She says, "Abide in me." As the scripture says in John 15, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it what? She says, it cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine. How do you abide in the vine? Your thoughtful hour every morning in Christ. Amen? And we need to obtain a knowledge of the will of God. We must individually hear Him speaking to the heart. Do you hear His voice every morning? Amen? Amen. We need to hear Him speak. You know how He speaks to you? Wake up! Not the alarm clock. Wake up, Rita. Wake up. Spend time with me. Don't turn on the TV yet. Don't turn on the radio yet. Open the Word. Amen. Get on your knees and pray. Say, "Lord, show me what I need to read this morning." This is our prayer. Remember the two texts I gave you this morning? He said, "I will show you, I will instruct you." But how is He going to instruct you and show you if you're not asking for it? Abide in me. We need to hear Him speaking to the heart. Wake up! Spend time with me! I told you the story about how God woke me up 3 o'clock in the morning. He wanted me to see why He allowed my friend to pass. I was mourning. I was full of anxiety. I lost a best friend. And God had to show me and comfort me and to show me from His Word that this is the reason why I let my friend pass. Your friend passed. 3 o'clock in the morning, wakes me up. He says, "Wake up. I want to show you from the Word of God." It's Sunday morning, Lord. I don't get up 3 o'clock in the morning to read the Bible at 3 in the morning. Lord, let me sleep in a little bit, you know, because it's not working day. It's not a working day. I get to sleep in. Oh, maybe Monday through Friday I get up at 4 to read your Word, Lord. But today I get to sleep in, and the Holy Spirit said, "No, get up." Get up. So I got up. 3 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning. I don't work today. Why should what I tried to argue with the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord woke me up. I went to a solitary place, got on my knees, I prayed, I said, "Lord, thank you. Show me what I need to do." And you know, He showed me from the Word of God. God in His mercy, God in His goodness, showed me from the Word that gave me hope. That my friend died not in vain, but he died in Christ. Amen? There's like 9 texts. I can give it to you later. But the first text he led me to was in 1 John. We won't go there, but it says, if we ask anything in his name, he will answer it according to his will. Not my will. Our will was, let him get well, Lord. Let him recover. The Lord says, no. I didn't understand it, but he started to show me from text to text that my friend made right with God. Even while he was going to the ICU, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So as a nurse, he knew his fate. He knew that if you go to ICU with COVID, you don't come out. So what do you think was going through his mind? He was pleading with God. I would be pleading with God. I remember when I was going to my surgery. When I went to my surgery, my wife was with me. The doctor said, okay, we're going to put this in your arm. You count to 10. And I said, wait. Let's pray first. Well, of course. Let's pray first. I want you to pray. I said, Lord, if it's your will, wake me up when I'm done here. Right? As a Christian, you're going to pray. What do you think my friend was doing when he was being wheeled to the ICU? He was praying too. Unfortunately, he didn't make it. You know what he was praying? Because this is my prayer too. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness so that I may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. I was pleading with God. I'm sure he was pleading. Oh, Eddie, you just being speculative. I don't need to be speculating. And God started to show me Bible text after Bible text, 3 o'clock in the morning, started to show it to me that God's promises are sure. It brought peace into my heart. Are you abiding in Christ this morning? Because he'll start speaking to you. He'll speak to you and instruct you in the way you should go. The decisions that you're going to have to make in the next future, in the next few months, you're going to have to need instructions. People are confused. People are misdirected. People don't know what to do. But God's going to give us the answer. And he's showing us now that we need to abide in him. So he's going to wake you up every morning as you spend time with him, because this is the foundation of a Christian, your time with God. I don't care if you know this or that. If you don't have a foundation with God, forget it. Because the first thing they're going to do is take your money away. Then what you're going to do? Take your insurance away? Then what you're going to do? They're going to take your homes away? Then what you're going to do? They're showing us what they're doing already. Anyway, that's not my subject. My subject is a Christian character. And in order to develop this Christian character, we need to spend time with God. You see, a character formed according to the divine likeness is the only treasure that we can take from this world to the next. And we need to be under the training of God. And this training is your time with him. Because we need to individually hear him speaking to the heart when every other voice is hush. And in quietness, we wait before him. The silence of the soul makes more distinct, listen, more distinct the voice of God. Because you know what? If you wake up later, there's going to be many voices talking to you. We need to hear him speaking individually to you and I. And you know it is of God. You will know. You will know. You see, the great apostle Paul describes the fruit which the Christian is to bear. He says, it is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. We know that it leads you to the law. And then it says, and again, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. We know that. Galatians 5:22. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Oh, I need to be gentle. I don't know how to be gentle. I need to learn that. I'm praying to God, Lord, help me to be gentle, especially when I'm on the freeway. And then at work, I need to be gentle with my friends that don't agree with me on the vaccine. Oops. I'm the only one in my department that haven't taken the vaccine and they don't like it. Since we're talking about vaccines, you know. That's not my subject too, but I'm just saying I have to be gentle. I need not to be gentle, but also I need to have the goodness and the faith, Brother Charles, Dr. Charles. I need that. I'm asking the Lord, Lord, help me to be kind. Help me to be patient. These are the characteristics of heavenly origin. It is our Christian privilege to have that. And it's available to you and I today. Amen? I have to have it. I want it. You see, my friends, these precious graces are but the principles of God's law carried out in the life. So that means if we don't have these characteristic traits, that means we're not carrying God's law. You're breaking God's law. In the church, breaking the law of God and call themselves Seventh-day Adventists. And don't even know it, that they're lawbreakers. You see, she says the law of God is the only true standard of moral perfection. It's going to lead us back to the law. And this war, this great controversy, is about the law of God. It's going to come down to the law of God. The question is, am I going to keep that law of God? Because it's going to boil down to, do you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? To the point where they're going to take everything away from you. I don't think we're ever... There's no way we're ready right now. Oh, I can't travel. I need to do this. I need to get swabbed. Listen, it goes deeper than that. It's about loving God with all your heart and doing what He says we need to be doing. So the precious graces are but the principles of God's law carried out in the life. So this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness. They're going to see it. They're going to see it. Where are they going to see it? On some mountaintop? Where are they going to see it? On some church roof? Where are they going to see it? They're going to see it in each of us this morning. The gospel of Christ, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nation, and then shall the end come. The end is coming. We don't know when, but this gospel needs to be presented to the world, and they're going to see it through us, because Christ's object lesson, page 69. Jerry, I know you know this one. God is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of Himself in His church. He's waiting, Ruth. He's waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of Himself in His church. When the character is what? Perfectly reproduced in His people. Then He will come and claim them as His own. So God is waiting for a people. He's waiting for Rose. Not Rose, he's waiting for you. Irma, he's waiting for you. Ruth, he's waiting for me too. I'm not exempted from this. He's waiting for all of us this morning to be a light bearer. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So my friends, there's an end coming. The devil doesn't want this to end. He wants to continue. But God is waiting for a group of people. You know, sometimes I wonder, how is this going to ever happen? How is this going to ever happen? It is through the grace and power of God. The grace and power of God. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Look, as we look into the divine mirror, the law of God, we see the exceeding sinfulness of sin and our own lost condition. Our own lost condition. Did you hear that? Our own lost condition. Because we're all transgressors of the law of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But, listen, but by repentance and faith, we are justified by God. So the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. What was the message John the Baptist gave? Repent! Turn away! Turn away! Turn away! That's the message we've been hearing throughout the Old Testament, now into the New Testament. We need to repent. Turn away. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is waiting for a people. We need to repent. We need to repent. But by repentance and faith, we are justified before God and through divine grace enabled to render obedience to His commandments. A Christian character. We're not going to exhaust this today. We're not. We're not going to do it. We're going to have truths of ceaseless ages of eternity and not exhaust this character. Because you know what? When we have the character of Christ, you'll never exhaust the character of Christ. You're going to understand His power, His love, why He would send His Son to come to save me. Why would He do it? This is a love that we can't fully understand. We cannot understand. And that's why it's so important every morning to get up and, Lord, show me, Lord, what I need to know. Help me to love the way You love. Help me to be gentle. When was the last time you prayed that prayer? The problem with us is we're asking God, Lord, give me this, give me that, give me. You ever ask your mom, give me, can I buy this? Buy that? Grandma? No, we should ask the Lord, Lord, help me so that we can finish this work and go home. I'm so stressed. It gave me anxiety. To the point where I went to the emergency room. I went to the emergency room because I thought I was having a heart attack. So I run in and they said, what's wrong? I said, my heart's racing. Check your blood pressure. Oh! I looked at the blood pressure. It was high. They rushed me inside. Fortunately, you know, there was nobody in the urgent care at community hospital. Put all the tests, put on all the wires, did a blood test, did all that. There's nothing wrong with you. The doctor goes and feels my neck. He said, oh man, you're so tight. I said, he said, what happened? I said, well, we just buried my friend. You're all stressed out. There's nothing wrong with you. We couldn't find anything with you. So I went to get a massage. I need another one. I need a deep tissue massage. My friends, we're all stressed out. We are stressed out. We need to move to the country. Oh, our money's going to be taken away. Oh, my health care. Oh, my. I don't know about you, but that's happening to me. I'm just telling you reality. We're all facing it somehow, some way. My job. What about my job? If I quit my job, I'm not going to have any insurance. Oh, what faith we need. Amen. The children of Israel left Egypt. They brought food, of course. They brought water. But they ran out. Oh, Moses, you brought us out here to die. I'm going back to Egypt for the onions and leeks. That's us. That's us. That's you and me. Oh, Lord, open the way so I can find a country home. That's us. If not, I'm going back to Egypt. But God had to show them by faith to move forward. And God had to show them that He's in charge. He's in charge. He's still sitting on the throne. For God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. You and I have to have a sound mind, and that's why the health message is so important. You see, the three angels' message, yes, we need to tell and proclaim the world, but it also has a health message in it so that we can make sound decisions and allow God to instruct us, to lead us in the way we should go. Amen? Amen. I need help just as much as you guys do. You know, the last week I had like 8 calls, people giving me their problems. And then I already have my own problems, anxiety, and it compounded. I'm like, oh man, what's wrong with me? But there was nothing wrong with me. And then I talked to my physical therapist, my massager. He's going to do a deep tissue massage on me. And I said, he said, oh, you know what that is? He said, that's a panic attack. Anxiety. He said, what the muscles will do is constrict, and then put pressure on my chest. And he said, and then it feels like a heart attack. I said, because I'm healthy. I ride my bike. I swim. I do everything right. And something's wrong with me? That's why I'm asking God, Lord, instruct me where I should go, what I should do. We're looking at the character, the Christian character, the Christian character, the Christian privilege. We have a privilege. We're privileged people. Can you imagine out of the trillions of stars that are in the heavens that God sent His Son to this sin-sick world, this little speck in the universe? He said, I'm going to save that guy right there, Mr. Duga Duga. I'm going to send my son so I can save him. Save him from himself. You see yourself on that speck of dust? Because that's what this world is. A speck of dust in this vast universe. And Jesus came to look for you and I. This is the Christian privilege. We're a privileged planet. Privileged people. And then you know what's going to happen? The whole universe is going to look at us and say, these guys are a privileged people. We're going to be put on a pedestal, so to speak, not in a prideful way, but we're going to be put in a position that people are going to acknowledge this speck of the world. Amen? My time's up. I'm only beginning. Because my friends, the character we ought to have today is the character formed according to the divine likeness. Divine likeness. To be like Jesus. because this is the only treasure. What did I say? I didn't say it. Ellen White said it. It is the only treasure. You're not taking your BMWs to heaven, okay? You're not taking your 401k. You're not taking your... What else? Huh? What? Bicycle. Okay, you can't take your bicycle. You can't. The only thing you're going to take to heaven is a character that's formed in divine likeness. That means to be like Jesus. Jesus is coming back for people that are going to be just like Him. Amen? That's the gospel. The gospel of Christ is the law exemplified in character. The knowledge of God as seen in Christ is to be revealed to a life. It needs to be a character transformation. And that's why we go back to John chapter 3, John chapter 4, where Jesus tells Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Sometimes we tend to forget that all of us are like Nicodemus. We need to be reminded that we need to be born again. Every day we need to be born again. Every day, every moment. That is the gospel. The gospel of Christ is the law exemplified in character. We need a transformation of character. That is the Christian character. The Christian's privilege is that we can be transformed in Christ. How many of us want to be transformed with Christ? Amen. I want to give you that hope this morning. If anything I said, I want you to remember this. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to make an appeal today. I want to leave you with this. This appeal. And here's the appeal. How many of you today want to rededicate your lives to the Lord? Amen. 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 I feel for you because every day I have to rededicate my life. Because you know, when I was having those episodes, I thought my life could end any time. I'm serious. Here I was thinking, I can die any time. And you know what? If I die today, You can wake up, and it could be 100 years from now, which I don't think it will be. But it's like waking up in the morning. It's like you woke up this morning. When you woke up this morning, you said, "Oh Lord, thank you, I woke up." Amen. My heart's still beating. Oh, I didn't get no episodes today. I'm serious. So you know what it did for me? Sometimes God afflicts you, so that this affliction will wake you up. Last, I'm going to make this last statement now that the Lord showed me this. I took a picture of it this morning. This is awesome how God just continues to show us the truth. Amen? This is beautiful. I took a picture of our devotional. And this is it. I'm going to close with this statement. This is Testimonies for the Church, Volume 8. I just took the reflection. This is important. She says this, perilous times are before us. Okay, what's that word perilous mean? Dangerous. Okay, we've been reading that for a long time now, but now you can actually see that this thing is coming to fruition. Everyone, how many? Everyone. She says, everyone who has a knowledge of the truth. You have the knowledge of the truth? Okay, we have the truth, okay? Should awake and place himself, body, soul, and spirit, under the discipline of God. Do you hear that? You know what the discipline of God is? Waking up in the morning. Not 10 o'clock in the morning. Not 12 o'clock. Not 8 o'clock, but before the sun comes up. That's what the Bible says. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, rising up before dawn, he went into a solitary place. And there he prayed. This is Jesus giving us an example. So we need to place ourselves. We should be wide awake. Don't be sleeping. No sleeping. It's not time to sleep. You know that. In Romans chapter 13, he says, it's not time to sleep. We must be wide awake. On our guard. We must put on the whole armor of God. We must follow the direction through the spirit of prophecy. We must love the truth right now. This will save us from accepting strong delusions. All kinds of delusions are coming in. Should I take it? Should I do it? I don't know. Just delusion. Because you know what? We're living in Revelation 13. Revelation 13 says this second beast's power is deceiving the whole world. Deceiving the whole world. You don't know who to believe. You don't know. Unless you research it yourself. But God's going to give us the truth. Amen? This will save us from accepting strong delusion. God has spoken to us through His Word. He has spoken to us through the testimonies to the church and through the books that He has helped us make plain our present duty and position that we should now occupy. The warning that have been given, line upon line, precept upon precept, should be heeded. If we disregard them, what excuse do we have to offer? We need to be awake. We need to prepare. For we're dealing with something that's beyond our comprehension. We have no idea what we're going to be facing in the future. But our only hope this morning is that we can have the character of Christ. That's our only hope. Money's not going to get us out. Nothing. This character that we're going to have is the only hope how we're going to survive this end times. It is my prayer that we can have this Christian privilege of knowing Christ and what He can do in each of our lives. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful and a privileged people, Lord. We don't realize how much of an opportunity we have. Sometimes we take things for granted until it's taken away from us. And Lord, I pray that You will grant us time and mercy. Because You know, Father, that we're not even ready for what's coming upon this world. We're not ready. Forgive us for our inconsistencies. Forgive us for our indolence. Forgive us for our selfishness and pride. Forgive us for our rebellious hearts. Whatever it is that is separating us from You, Lord, I pray that You will remove it today. Forgive us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You saw the hands that went up this morning that they've testified that they want a new experience with You. Because it's very clear in the pen of inspiration that we need to obtain an experience in obtaining a knowledge of the will of God. That means, Lord, we need to spend time with You. Shut off the TV, shut off the radio, shut off the YouTube, whatever it is that is taking away our time with You. I pray, Father, that You will minister to us today. Lord, I pray for this church, the leadership here, our world church. I pray for them also. Our institution here at Loma Linda. Lord, I pray, Father, we're pleading with God, pleading with You, Lord. Grant us mercy. Thank You for giving us time. We love You, Lord. We praise You. And we thank You that You've heard our prayer this morning. You saw every hand that went up, Lord. Start working on them. Give them time. We love You, and we praise You, and we thank You that You've answered, not only answered, but You've heard and answered our prayer today. All these things we ask in the precious and holy name and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. May the Lord continue to grant us time that He can lead us and instruct us in the way we should go. God bless you.